Hi, and welcome to the View Church Tableview Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
Psalm 23, 1 to 6. Here we go. If you guys were here the last few weeks, we're doing our Surrounded series. And I would have opened up the first week and I would have spoke about Psalm 23, verse 1. That our foundation is that He's Lord. Then we see who He is. We realize who we are. If He's a shepherd, we're a sheep. And we also then realize that He owns us, double owns us, next level. He not only made us, He paid for us. And then the third thing, that we might not have what we want. We might not want what we have, but in Christ we have all we need. And then this morning, I would have looked at verse 2 and 3 and seen that God gives us rest, that God restores us, and that He leads us. Tonight, I'm going to look at Psalm 23 again, and I'm going to look at verse 5 mainly and touch on verse 6. But let's read the psalm together. You guys ready? Because this is a psalm you guys all know. So I'm going to count to three, and we're going to go 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my shepherd.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. God, I pray tonight we would encounter You in a supernatural way and that You would speak to us clearly from the psalm. I pray that every person would walk out here not only having an encounter with You, but also getting a meal from You, from Your word, that You would fix us a meal in whatever season we're in right now, that we would leave here full of You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 23 verse 5 goes, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. So if you were living in those days and you were a guest at someone's house, that guest took full responsibility to protect you at all costs. Not only does that guest, that host protect his guests, or let's say you're the guest, not only does he protect you, actually that host would anoint you with oil. It had to be, normally it would be an expensive oil, and it would be an oil that smelt really good. They would anoint you with various oils, and they would do it on your forehead. Of course, it would help your countenance in the heat they experienced and the weather they experienced. The oil would help their skin as well. But the guest would do that for the people he was hosting. Of course, we see a picture here that David says, you anoint my head with oil. So if you look at Psalm 1, you see that the Lord is my shepherd. Based on the fact that He's a shepherd, we realize that if He's a shepherd, then we are a sheep. Once you know who He is, you will always discover who you are. And once you discover who He is and who you are, you can see in the psalm who you are in the psalm. David was speaking about himself. So if the Lord is his shepherd, then David is a sheep. And he's explaining what happens to sheep, that they get anointed with oil. Of course, it can sound very spiritual, but if you go read it, and I've been reading up about it, that still today in Israel, in a certain time of the year, normally the summer season, they actually have a lot of bugs go around into the fields. And so what they do to protect the sheep is they put a mixture of oil together, and then they pour the oil on the sheep's head and on its nose so that the bugs won't get into its nose. So basically the three reasons sheep received anointing of oil in that season is bugs, butts, and cuts. That's it. Remember that, bugs, butts, and cuts. So first of all, sheep are open to having flies land in their nose. And actually, if they stay in their nose, they'll end up planting eggs in their nose. And sheep actually can die from the insects in their nose. This is a fact. So what they do is they'll say in that area, you'll have sheep running around and shaking their heads, looking like they're headbanging, but they actually just irritated. Some sheep get so irritated that they'll actually try to kill themselves. So that's how irritated sheep would get in that day. So what they do is they anoint the sheep with oil. Then butts. Of course, it's headbutting. Sheep get irritated with each other and fight. Maybe one sheep is trying to hit on another sheep's girlfriend, and then they actually end up butting heads. So the oil in that season of butting heads, it actually causes them, when they hit, it doesn't cause them to hit as hard, and they actually slide off. So they still hurt each other, and they can still be very aggressive, but the oil causes them to have less injuries than they would without the oil. Then the last thing is cuts. So the sheep live outdoors, and of course there's barbed wire, there's thistles, there's rocks, there's sticks, there's predators. And what happens is the oil allows those to not be as bad as well. So they get anointed with oil for bugs, butts, and cuts. Okay. So when we see this picture that David explains that we are sheep, we also get anointed with oil. When you and I get saved and we give our life to Jesus, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. If you look at the Holy Spirit and how it's depicted in the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit, a picture of oil. It's the anointing. Some people in some countries say, you know, when it's the anointing, they say, I can feel the oil of God. It's His oils in this place. And people, what they're trying to say is there's an anointing in this place. If you look at David, when he got called to be a king, before he got recognized, the prophet shows up and tries to anoint the king, one of his brothers. But God doesn't release the anointing. And it was actually a very physical picture of anointing. There was a seal, and God would release the seal, and the oil would flow over the chosen king. So they end up trying to anoint one of the sons, and it doesn't happen. And then he says, have you got another child? Because God's clearly chosen a boy from your family. He says, well, I've got the one, the runt of the litter. He's out in the field. I said, well, go call him in. He's just taking care of a few sheep. He comes in, and the prophet puts the oil over him, and the seal's broken, the anointing. Pause up. And the picture we get is that David was anointed to do something. He was set apart for God's kingdom. When you give your life to Jesus, you not only have the Holy Spirit come live inside of you, but God also wants to put His anointing on you for ministry. This is how we say it. When Jesus came out of the tomb, it says in Scripture, He met with His disciples and He breathed on them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then He says to His disciples, wait for me, wait in the upper room. So when He ascends to heaven, before He ascends, He says, wait for the promise. Wait for the power of God, the Holy Spirit. If I go, it's going to be better for you because I can send the Holy Spirit. So what we see is we see them receiving the Holy Spirit when He comes out the tomb, but then we see Jesus telling them to wait so the Holy Spirit come on them in power. And the Scripture says in Acts that the Holy Spirit came on them in power to be witnesses. So what we see in Scripture, and the pattern of Scripture, is that the Holy Spirit comes into you when you get saved, but when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's for ministry, it's for purpose. It's an anointing for others. The anointing of God is always connected to others. God will never anoint you just for yourself, so you can just minister yourself. Because what happens, it's a trap. If you just get anointed for yourself, it's totally outside of God's purposes. God will always anoint you for relationship with other people. He'll anoint you for ministry. The anointing on your life is never there to make you isolated or an island. It will never, the anointing will always cause you to want to do something relational or something generous to others. So when David says, I was anointed, he anoints my head with oil, God was anointing him not only to be a king, God was anointing him to be in healthy relationship with other Christians. God's anointing on your life, the reason the shepherd anoints you is not only that you don't have bugs in your life, he also anoints you that you stop knocking heads with other people and that you stop getting wounded by your relationships with people, especially in the church. The crazy thing is, God knows it's not the big things that will take you out of a walk with God. A lot of the time, it's the offenses you pick up in the church. It's the disconnect, how somebody treats you in a church that ends up getting up your nose. What's got up your nose, Brew? Well, that thing's laying eggs in your nose and it's infesting your life and it's going to cause you to walk out of relationship with other people. That's going to stop you from growing and it's going to stop you from reaching your destiny. So then he anoints you, says, I've anointed you to get into healthy relationships. But not only will that anointing help you stay in the body, that anointing is that you minister to people outside the body. But scripture clearly says, how will they know that you are my disciples? By the way you love one another. The anointing that gets poured on the sheep is so that they actually love each other more, that they actually take better care of each other. And God's called us to do that. Ephesians 5, 17 to 18 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you look at that word, be filled, it would be the same meaning of what you see shepherds doing to sheep right now, or well, in the summer season when there's a lot of bugs. They get anointed daily. They get filled. They have the oil poured on them. You and I should be in a place where we daily ask God to fill us, to come on us with the Holy Spirit. I'm not denying that the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of you, but I'm encouraging you that that scripture teaches us that you need to ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit daily, because guess what? Every day you're going to be in relationship with other people. You're going to be in relationship with other Christians. You're going to be in relationships that are supposed to give momentum to your life, help you reach your destiny, but also give momentum to the kingdom. So if you are getting drunk on wine, because he compares getting drunk on wine to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, just like you would get drunk on wine and lose control, rather get filled with the Holy Spirit continuously and take control and live on purpose. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that can happen at any point. You can wake up tomorrow morning, and I showed you guys the beginning of the year. It's like this breathing in of God's breath. Now, a lot, at the beginning of the year, I had balloons. I used it as illustration. And I bought quite a few helium balloons. And they told me the helium balloons that I bought had a 6-hour lifespan. After 6 hours, they would start to drop. They would get a bit less full. And so if I wanted to keep those balloons at the maximum size, I needed to have it filled again. Same with you. If you want to be maximized, if you want to be used on purpose for God, you need to continuously ask God to anoint you, just like David was anointed. The oil was poured on him by the shepherd. You have to ask him every day, Jesus, will you fill me up with your Spirit? Will you pour your Spirit? Will you breathe life into me? Because today, again, I'm going to be meeting with people. I'm going to have Christians around me. I'm going to go into your workplace. I need your infilling. So even as you drive in traffic, fill me up. Even as you go to work, even as you're on the My City, fill me up. Even as you go to school, go to varsity, you can ask him. Even as you're about to lose control, if you say, fill me up, you can actually have your character honor him. That's what that scripture means. And that's what we need to be doing. So we have to be focused, as Galatians 5, 14 to 17 says, For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you need to have a lot of the Holy Spirit. Because that is so not a natural thing, but to love your neighbor is a supernatural thing. And you need God's power if you're going to do it. It goes on to say in verse 15, which is very interesting. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. When I read that and I read Psalm 23, I was like, we are like sheep. Because there were some sheep that were butting heads and trying to bite each other, and they would end up taking each other out. So the shepherd poured oil on them so that they wouldn't hurt each other, wouldn't fully take each other out. And God pours oil on us because he knows you and I, even though we're Christians, potentially could hurt each other. Potentially could take each other out. And yeah, even as I say this, please remember, if I'm preaching and you're thinking, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this because they need to hear it, you're most probably not in the right frame of mind, because this scripture is for all of us. Because it's not about other people hurting us. Normally, we're hurting someone else. We need to go, I potentially could hurt people and take them out of their walk with God. So I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of your flesh. The desire of your flesh is hurt people, hurt people. The desire of your flesh is, if I'm hurt, I'm going to hurt somebody back. And then it goes, verse 7, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So we can't just be like sheep. If I want to butt heads with you, I'm going to butt heads with you. If this bug gets into my nose, I'm going to let it live there. We need to be anointed. We need to make sure things aren't getting into our hearts. Things aren't infesting. Things aren't growing. Things aren't planting more seeds. I'm offended by you. And then somebody else brings up another offense. Oh, there's another seed. I'm just going to live in it. I'm just going to, live with the scars. And then, look, woe is me. Look how this church cut me and this guy, Christian, did this to me. That's the warning of the scripture. God's saying, that could happen. Get anointed. If you are offended by anyone right now, God has got enough anointing for you to forgive them. God's got enough power for you to let go and let God. God's got enough forgiveness for you to forgive them. If you got a problem with someone out there right now, God has got enough power that will flow, that will allow you to release those people. But here's the deal. As soon as you release them, you will be released. When you forgive people, it's not them who you're freeing. It's yourself you're freeing. So that's why David says, he anoints me with oil. God wants me to live in freedom. God wants me to live in victory. And when he anoints me with oil, that's when my cup overflows. When there's no anointing on your life and you're bitter and offended by people, you will live in lack. But when you're anointed and freely can forgive, there's an overflow in your life. There's a cup that overflows continuously and you can live this free life. So he anoints us with oil. We need every day, you need to wake up, I need your touch, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of me for me. But you come on me, you anoint me for others. You anoint me for relationship. You anoint me for ministry. I don't need the bug's life in my nose. I don't need to butt heads with everyone. I don't need to have cuts. I can forgive. I can walk away. I can be the peacemaker because I'm not looking for their approval. I've got your approval and your anointing. I can live free. Of course, then we see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? What are the fruits of being anointed? What are the fruits of having the Holy Spirit living in your life? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit help you to have relationship with other people. The fruits of the Spirit make not only you way easier to be around, you will find it easier to be around others, even though they try to butt heads with you. You've got the gas. You've got the infilling you need. If hurt people, then filled people, bless people. Anointed people, build better relationship. Anointed people, build greater unity. Anointed people give the people who are not yet saved a better picture of Christ. They're the best evangelists. The best evangelists are filled people. They're forgiving people. They're steadfast. They've got self-control. They've got joy. They've got peace. They've got kindness. They've got goodness. They've got faithfulness. Can I have the worship team up? So, after all this, we've seen that he anoints him with oil. In Psalm 133, 1-3, we can put that up, and I'll just wait for the guys to get up. But Psalm 133, 1-3, of course, speaks about unity. And I've just shared with you, David says, "You anoint my head with oil." The anointing of the head with oil is for unity. But then it goes on to say in Psalm 133, 1-3, how wonderful and pleasant is it when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil. I think when I read the scripture, God anoints you so you can live in unity. And then when you live in unity, he takes the anointing to a whole nother level. And he starts to use your life to truly bless others. He starts to flow. So for harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head. The anointing oil that was poured on Aaron's head was anointing to set him apart to be a great minister for Christ, a great minister for God. When we live in unity, a fresh anointing comes on us for ministry. The first oil is that we love one another, and the ministry we send out is a picture of unity and love. But the next level of anointing that comes once you're in unity and love is that you are set apart for ministry. Of course, it ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew on Mount Hermon that falls in the mountain of Zion. And there the Lord pronounces his blessing. Even life everlasting. Of course, Mount Hermon was the tallest mountain, and even in the driest season, that mountain would have a dew that was so thick, it would end up blessing the terrain and the mountains around it. If you look at the scripture, people were coming to feasts from different backgrounds, from different regions, and they ended up coming, and because of their unity, it blessed the region even in the driest season. You could be going through the worst season of your life, but if you would find unity with somebody, you will be blessed and refreshed. You could be going through your hardest season, your most broken season, but if you would find unity with someone around the purposes of Christ, you will be blessed. That's why the attack on your life, when life is hard, Satan wants you to isolate yourself, but God wants you to anoint you for relationship. That's why we serve an awesome shepherd. He anoints our head with oil daily. So no matter what the day you're going through, you can have relationship, you can be refreshed, you can be blessed, because wherever there's unity, God commands another blessing. And it might be a dry season, but Mount Hermon's dew will run over you, and the terrain and the plants will grow in your life, and fruit will come out of your life, even in your toughest season, not because of you, because of the unity that brings a blessing from God. He anoints you for relationship. And then when you find relationship, he anoints you for ministry. He gives you fruit. when the guys came together for their feast, it said they celebrated around three things. They celebrated around redemption, around the fact that God's presence was, the tabernacle was with them, God's presence, and then the restoration of others. When they celebrated their salvation in a way, if I said in a New Testament way, they celebrated that they had the Holy Spirit, God's presence, and they celebrated that others were getting saved. That was their unity. Not, they didn't find unity because of their culture. They didn't find unity because they came from the same country. They didn't find unity because they had the same skin color. They found unity because they were saved, God was present, and more people were getting saved. That's what they celebrated. If we as a church could focus on those three things, we could always have a fresh touch from God. We won't have bugs crawling up our nose, planting seeds, infesting our life. We won't be butting heads. We won't have the scars of life. What I want us to do quickly is, if you are a couple, a married couple, you can pray for each other. But if you're not a married couple, I'd want a girl to pray the girl, a guy to pray the guy. If there is a one, if you can't all do it in twos, then do it in threes, like three girls, three guys. But this is what I want you to do is, I want you just to stand with a person and pray God's blessing over them. Everything you, this is how you do it. Your greatest dreams, pray that it happens for them. Not your specific, but like if you're dreaming of being married and God blessing them, like whatever, pray that they'd also be blessed, that their dreams would come true. Here's the thing, what I've learned. When people are disconnected, you know how to break that disconnect? Get them to pray for each other. Pray blessings over each other. I remember this, there were two people who were fighting when I was a youth pastor. They're having this massive fight and it kept coming up, and clearly there was no oil on them to work it out, you know? So you know what I did was, I got them into a room and I said, you don't dig him, hey? And, and I said, you don't dig him. Yeah, totally, we don't dig each other. I said, cool. You know what I want you guys to do? I want you to pray curses over each other. I was, of course, messing at their heads. They said, we can't do that. I said, no, do it, bro. Pray the biggest curse over this dude. Just curse him to hell. I can't do it. Can't you? Okay, then why don't you bless him all the way to heaven? Okay, I can do that. Okay, and you as well. And it's like, as they did it, something broke. They just started to pray these blessings over each other. And all of a sudden, there was more oil, more anointing. And all of a sudden, brothers could dwell in unity. And then God pours out another touch of oil. And all of a sudden, set apart for ministry.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.